Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In Louisiana, Operation Hellcat leads to the arrest of six involved in a car theft ring. In Arizona, a woman is arrested at Starbucks after giving customers the full moon. And a canine officer finds missing toddler safe in the woods. These stories and more coming at you today, Thursday, April 4th, on Real Life Real Crime Daily. And I'm Jim Chapman.
I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino. April the 4th.
April the 4th.
My parents would have been married 65 years today. Wow. Had my father made it. Wow, 65 years.
How old was your dad when he passed?
He was 87. Oh. That was 2017.
Wow. Well.
Mama's still around.
Yep.
Mama's still going strong.
And how young is she?
She was younger than dad, so she is about to turn 88.
Wow.
But still driving. Still, I mean, she's
still in charge.
She is a rock.
Interesting. Thirsty Thursday, boys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is Thirsty Thursday.
Let's get down to some true crime time for Thirsty Thursday.
Well, we're going to start in Louisiana in a year-long investigation involving a dozen agencies from South Louisiana to Miami has led to six people being arrested in connection to a high-end car theft ring. The thieves were targeting expensive Dodge vehicles, everything from TRX trucks to Hellcats and Scat Pack Edition Chargers.
I was going
to
say, isn't that an oxymoron?
What?
Expensive Dodge vehicles.
Yeah, they got some.
They have some of those. Yeah. The XRTs.
Oh man, those Scat Packs are okay. No joke, and the Hellcats are no joke.
The Chargers, is that what they're?
Yeah, and TRX trucks. During their move from rail cars at the Union Pacific Automotive Facility in Port Allen to dealerships in Baton Rouge in the New Orleans area, investigators believe the suspects were using, get this, Apple AirTags to track the vehicles where they would use stolen key fobs to steal the vehicles. They were going into the facility and there were multiple key fobs for each vehicle. They would take one key fob and deposit one Apple AirTag inside that vehicle. This from Sergeant Landon Grozier, who was with the West Baton Rouge Parish Sheriff's Office. The Union Pacific Automotive Facility in Port Allen is where the majority of Dodge vehicles in the area are held before they're transported to dealerships. Vehicles are brought in via rail and offloaded onto a secure lot. Grozier said the key fob protocol and security has been revamped to prevent future thefts. The first theft happened on March 26 of 2023. They say two Dodge Ram 1500 TRX Hellcats. That's a bad truck. They're $100,000 each. They were stolen before they were recovered in Miami Beach in Jefferson Parish. Investigators detailed several other brazen thefts and attempted thefts over the past several months. On March 21st, six suspects were arrested in four residences in Jefferson Parish and one resident in Lafourche Parish were searched. 19 key fobs, grinders, burglary tools, and more air tags were found during those searches. Investigators say there's no connection or relationship between the suspects and the Port Allen facility where the theft ring originated. Investigators say they're still looking for one suspect, 25-year-old Kenneth Stackhouse of West Wego. He's wanted for simple burglary, motor vehicle theft, and principal to theft of a motor vehicle, among other charges. Police believe he may be driving a 2019 Chevy Malibu with license plate 945-GPZ. So if you see that, give the police a call. He's wanted.
You know, when you drive across the Mississippi River Bridge heading towards Lafayette, if you look to the left, it's like, I don't know how many acres, and it's all those vehicles that get unloaded from the ships and before they get shipped wherever.
Yeah.
The thing about the Apple AirTags, you have to be pretty close proximity for that. That's not, I don't know how you get in and do that, but I guess where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
How close do you have to be?
I had looked it up recently for a family member to put on their side by side on the property in case something happened to them. And it was, I can't remember the exact dimensions, but it's much more effective to get a regular GPS tracker.
Yeah, yeah, I would imagine. Well, in this instance, it was working for them. And,
that's organized crime. They had, you don't just go take two Hellcats. They had orders for those vehicles.
Yeah.
And they probably got, 25% of the value on delivery.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, when they did that press conference, there was every agency you could name from Louisiana. This was a big investigation, to be sure. So
that's
glad they got those guys. Yep. That's one of the reason cars are expensive.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Things like that.
Insurance and all that. Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's go to Florida, where a canine officer is being hailed a hero after helping to find a missing 3-year-old boy who wandered from his home on Friday. According to the DeLand Police, the child's family reported him missing from their home around 11:30 a.m., and a search team was immediately assembled. Officers conducted a massive search for the missing boy, focused on a wooded area immediately behind the family's home. The canine's name was Midnight, who is trained to search for narcotics and missing people, and his handler, Corporal Damon Clark, were called in to help locate this lost boy. Using the boy's blanket, Midnight picked up the child's scent and followed it deep into the wooded area. Midnight and Clark followed the trail and eventually found the boy in the woods. The child was unharmed and returned safely to his family. The department said, "Good work to all teams involved. This is the outcome we hope for in these situations, a safe return. Midnight has served the DeLand Police Department since 2022. He joins the ranks of other law enforcement canines nationwide who have recently tracked down missing children and reunited them with their families. That includes last month when a canine officer named Ibiza in Auburn, Mass. Followed the scent of a missing 12-year-old boy for 2 miles to track him down in frigid temperatures. And in January, when a canine officer named Mary Lou in Hillsborough County, Florida, helped find a missing 11-year-old girl who was inside a locked park bathroom. So years from now, when Midnight passes away, I hope the DeLand police will consider reaching out to our friends, Roy, Kristen, and Kristen at Louisiana Pet Crematory. Roy and the Kristens have just introduced a new service that I think would be perfect for Midnight. They could take the new boat that they've acquired, that I understand Roy has named Aglet, which I think is just a great name for the boat. Thank you, Roy. That was really unnecessary of you to do that, but I appreciate it. But they could take the boat out and they could release Midnight's ashes into the Gulf at precisely midnight, and then they'd be able to create a really nice memorial keepsake with the exact coordinates and everything. We talked about this a little bit in the show we did when we were in Broussard, but that would be a great trip.
Be cool.
And they video
the service. Yeah, shout out to Midnight and his handler. And we've done a lot of good stories on canines.
Canines are amazing.
Yeah.
Dogs in general, pets in general.
Right,
but
right.
What those canines are trained to do is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it was really cool when we were at Parish Forensics and was in a pet crematory to see all the stuff that they have, right? And the work that they do.
Fur
babies.
I mean, they basically have a full store of, commemorative keepsakes.
Yeah, you've never even drained the stuff that they have.
A necklace that I want to get for Miss Jerry for for our dog Deuce that we lost last year. But if you haven't seen that, I don't know that all of it's on the site, but a lot of it is. You just go to lapetcrematory.com and you can check out what they are showing online. I'm actually going to be on the phone with those guys this afternoon talking about a possible idea in the fall that if it materializes, we'll tell you guys about. But yes, our canine officers do important work, and so do our friends up in Broussard under that big American flag. So if you need those services, and if you do lose a family pet, they're great people to go to. LA Pet Crematory, LAFuneralServices.com, and go see our pals.
That's our people, legit. Yeah.
Under that big old American flag.
Rest easy.
Rest easy. Well,
we got a great picture under that big American flag with the Real Life Real Crime logo on the video screen. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Well, we're going to stay in Louisiana. And boy, Woody, I can't wait to get your opinion on this one. This is a little different.
Yeah.
One of our Louisiana State Police troopers has gotten in a little bit of trouble.
A little malfeasance.
Let's talk about this. A Louisiana State Police trooper has been arrested, accused of failing to properly investigate two suspected drunken crashes. Superintendent Colonel Robert Hodges said Brett Dupree, 56, failed to properly document and investigate the crashes, which happened within 48 hours of each other over the Easter weekend last year. Dupree, a trooper since 2008, reportedly filed false reports, which resulted in those drivers not being taken into custody at the scenes of those crashes. One of the individuals was seriously injured and taken to ICU. Dupree's report prompted his father to search for surveillance video to clear his son's name. The footage led the Louisiana State Police to change its initial report, revealing that Holloway was the one who crossed the center line and collided with. So Holloway was the driver that was impaired and collided with the truck in that instance. Louisiana State Police second report referenced glass and aluminum cans scattered around the vehicle, including a Miller Lite box and wine bottle. Mm. Oh, that's a clue.
Right.
That's what you call that in the business. The follow-up report also referenced a sour smell in Holloway's truck and two tumbler cups on the floorboard. Mm. The second crash happened in Madisonville when 22-year-old Marley Ellis reportedly crashed into a truck occupied by two teen girls. Ellis's car ended up flipping over in a ditch, and the girl's mother said they could have been killed. Dupree responded to the crash and cited Ellis only for careless operation without administering a sobriety test. Louisiana State Police supervisors reviewed the crash, got a blood test done while Ellis was in the hospital, and booked her for DUI 17 days later. Dupree was placed on administrative leave when an internal investigation was launched in May and resigned last August. He was booked Monday, April 1st, on two counts of malfeasance in office and one count of filing false public records.
Man, you know, I can't remember him specifically, but I can assure you I took part in his hiring process, as I did everybody that came through in those years. And, you know, it's such a strenuous.
2008?
Yeah, I was there in 2007 through 13.
But so he
came through.
Pro at this point.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have one job, right? I mean, was it laziness? I don't think he benefited from financially. But, you know, you got to write. A crash is bad enough. That's the three things I hate the worst, was writing tickets, accidents, and DWIs. But writing an accident or a crash is bad enough. But if you got to bring them in, and now they're going to be injured, you got to bring them in, get them, get a blood test, get, you know, for the hospital. Or if they're not injured so much they go to the hospital, you got to bring them in and go through the two-hour breathalyzer test and all the shit that you have to go through that. It just takes hours for a misdemeanor charge. Yeah. But, I mean, should have done his job. That's what the sad part of that is. The people that he actually arrested over the years are all going to get a shot. I mean, he lied on that. All those doors are going to be opening up.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think that it's complacency, apathy?
If I was to speculate, I would say just didn't want to take the time and do all that and have to go to court for a misdemeanor.
Yeah. And if I'm in his position,
that's what you
do. You know, a crash is going to be – there's lawsuits that occur over that. Yep. You would think that was the situation where you want to make sure you do everything correct.
Troopers, and this is the reason I was never a trooper, and I told the colonel that when I went over as a criminal investigator. I went over as an investigator, right, because I knew how to investigate serious crimes. But the troopers – all they do is write tickets, accidents, and DWIs. That's what you're a pro at.
Yeah.
That's what they're the best in the world at that.
Yeah.
Unless you're not.
Unless you're not.
Unless you get a little lazy.
Yeah.
Mm. Well. It's springtime, boys. The grass is green, the birds are chirping, and the kids will be out of school soon. That makes it the perfect time to plan a family vacation. And we know from the stories we cover that this is not exactly the time to take the family to the Caribbean. You don't want to end up in the middle of some cartel drug shootout. So this year, it's time to take an international journey. And of course, a big international trip is just one reason to learn a new language with Rosetta Stone. You might have a different one. Maybe you want to connect with family or friends living overseas. Maybe you want to acquire a new skill for work or better understand a certain culture. Rosetta Stone has helped me have fun with my mother and at least have partial conversations in Italian after only a few lessons.
Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and many more. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. No English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in that language. Intuitive process, you pick up a language naturally. Designed for long-term retention. Speech recognition, the true accent feature is like having a personal trainer for your accent. Rosetta Stone is convenient and an amazing value.
That's right, Woody. A lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Real Life Real Crime and Daily Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
Sayonara.
Do you guys know what May 12th is? Sunday, May 12th?
Mama's Day.
That would be correct. It's Mother's Day. So let me ask you, do you basically get your mom the same gift every year for Mother's Day? Maybe some flowers, some chocolates, maybe a robe or a framed photo, boring stuff, right?
Right.
Well, let me tell you about something that's totally cool and different from Mother's Day that will never wilt, spoil, or put an extra 10 pounds around her waist. I'm talking about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty unique. Cool, right?
Right.
Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you wish to ask. Your mom can either type a response to the email or she can record her voice if she prefers to do that, or she can do both. And MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book as well as an audiobook. And if you want, and she's up to the task technically, you know, the audiobook is a great extra thing to be able to do. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she overcame. This book becomes a legacy, something you and your future generations can treasure. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is kind of your chance to give her a way to share them. Every family's a little bit different, and in my family, we love to give each other a really hard time. So I've taken the approach in doing this of asking my mom to comment on some of those family moments that might be a bit embarrassing to other family members. Last week, my question was, Mom, did you feel guilty that day you hit me over the head with your wooden clog and Dad had to take me to the hospital for 8 stitches? mom's response. Back in the day, I was the disciplinarian of the house, and when you were 8 years old, you refused to get out of Nancy's, that's my sister's, plastic kiddie pool. I told you 10 times to get out of the damn pool. You didn't listen, so I chased you around the yard, and when you slipped, I nailed you right on the head. That was the last time you got in that kiddie pool. Of course, Dad had to lie to the ER and tell him that that you fell on your head, but I nailed you good. The entire process with my life in a book is simple, and in the end, Mom will have a great keepsake that can remain in your family for generations.
Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use code RLRC for 10% off today.
Well, let's venture out to Alaska, where we seldom have gone. Where a woman with a lengthy criminal history, including theft, assault, and prostitution, got into a truck with a man who had picked her up for a date.
All right.
Put some parentheses around quotations around that. Downtown, this is all near downtown Anchorage. When he left her alone in the vehicle, so he walked out of the vehicle for a couple minutes, she stole a digital memory card from the center console of his truck. Don't know why she did that, but she did. Now, more than 4 years later, what she found on that card is the key to a double murder trial set to begin this week.
Wow.
Pretty crazy.
Right?
Pretty crazy. So the woman found gruesome photos and videos of another woman being beaten and strangled at a Marriott hotel. Mm. The woman's date was the attacker. In the video. So she hops into this thing. She grabs that.
Could have been you.
He is seen speaking in a strong accent, urging his victim to die. Her blanket is blanket covered her body. And then she is taken outside on a luggage cart. So after he chokes her to death, he takes her out in a luggage cart. In my movies, everybody always dies, the voice says on one video. So after he kills this girl, he says into the camera, in my movies, everybody always dies. What are my followers going to think of me? People need to know when they are being serial killed. He's confessing himself as a serial killer in these videos. About a week after she took the SD card, the woman turned it over to police, who said they recognized the voice as that of Brian Stephen Smith, who's now 52, a South African native they knew from a prior investigation. Smith has pleaded not guilty to 14 charges, including first and second degree murder, sexual assault, and tampering with evidence in the deaths of Kathleen Henry, age 30, and Veronica Abochuk, who was 52 when her family reported her missing back in February of 2019, 7 months after they last had seen her. Henry and Abochuk were both Alaska Native women who had experienced homelessness. They were from small villages in western Alaska, Henry from Eek and Abochuk from Stebbins. Authorities say Henry was the victim whose death was recorded at the Town Place Suites by Marriott, a hotel in Midtown Anchorage. Smith was registered to stay there from September 2nd to September 4th of 2019. The first images showing her body were time-stamped about 1 a.m. on September 4th, police said. The last images on the card were taken early on September 6th and showed Henry's body in the back of a black pickup. Location data showed that at the time of the photo, Smith's phone was in the area of Rainbow Valley Road along the Seward Highway south of Anchorage, the same area where Henry's body was found several weeks later. As detectives interrogated Smith about the Marriott case, Smith confessed to another murder. He had killed another woman, and he went on to identify Abochuk from a photo and told police that they could find her remains along the Old Glen Highway north of Anchorage. With no prompting, he tells the troopers in the bathroom, "I'm going to make you famous." This is according to District Attorney Brittany Dunlop. He comes back in and says, "You guys got some more time? You want to keep talking?" And then discloses this other murder. Smith's trial begins on Monday and is expected to last 3 or 4 weeks. Alaska Public Media is live streaming the trial for anyone who has interest in watching it. But were it not for this woman going and, for whatever reason, taking that card, the video card, yeah, out of that console.
It's common for prostitutes to swipe whatever they can. I've never heard. Well, it's common for the sexual sadist or the serial killer to record their act in some kind of way, whether, you know, it's a photograph or taking a driver's license or something like that.
Well, and I think she thought she was recorded by him, and that's why she, when he got out.
It's also common for this narcissistic asshole. So, you know what? You like that one? I got a good response out of that one. Well, let me tell you about the next one. I mean, very surprised there's not more than those two.
South African serial killer finds his way to Alaska.
Alaska.
That's crazy. And what?
It's just bizarre.
I mean, you pop that memory card in, what it was on here. And,
Wow. You see that, huh?
I'll freak you out quick.
Crazy.
Well, let's talk about Slidell.
Slidell.
A little bit. Slidell, Louisiana. And the Slidell police issued a little report on Facebook. And if we had a segment entitled Unlucky Criminals, this would fit. As a matter of fact, I'm going to quote them. They said, we couldn't make up this story if we wanted to.
Right.
And neither could these unlucky criminals. This is definitely one for the record books. Last night, while most of you were sound asleep in your beds, your proactive Slidell police officers conducted a traffic stop. The officers' suspicion grew as the vehicle didn't immediately pull over and continued driving for a short period. Finally, when the vehicle came to a stop, a male passenger tosses a gun in the back seat and took off running. The officer, who was alone at the time, decided to stay with the driver and the vehicle and radioed to the cavalry that he had a passenger flee. The passenger who fled was said to have had a book bag and to be wearing an orange shirt. This is important, so remember it. As Slidell's finest responded to the area to look for the fleeing suspect, two unrelated suspects were spotted. And they took off running.
Right.
After jumping several fences and running a few blocks, the officers were able to catch both. One of the suspects had a ski mask and gloves on, as well as a firearm tucked in his pants. The second suspect had on an orange shirt, as described by the officer who made the traffic stop. And this is where the story gets interesting. As the investigation continued, officers discovered that these two subjects had absolutely nothing to do with the vehicle that was stopped.
Oh, they do that, yeah.
In fact, both of these subjects were preparing to commit their own crimes when Slidell's police unexpectedly ran into them. These two criminals thought the police were there for them, which is why they took off running at the first sight of the police car. The two unsuspecting suspects had their planned night of crime spoiled by Slidell's finest. They racked up some weapons and resisting an officer charges and were brought to jail. As for the first guy who ran, go get yourself a lotto ticket because luck was on your side. Mm-hmm. Remember one thing, though. You ran from the Slidell Police Department. You might have gotten away last night, but your time is coming. We will find you.
Yeah. Shout out to those guys. I got some good friends there. I wonder, they're probably going to get that dude anyway.
Well, they got the driver, right?
So. They got the vehicle. They'll get him. And they can't outrun the warrant. So, but then they catch two other ones.
And they just took off running, assuming that, oh, shit, there's the cops. They know we were up to whatever they were up to.
That's funny.
Yeah, man.
Unlucky, but.
Unlucky.
Cops only got to get lucky once. The bad guys got to get lucky every time.
That's a good point. And Slidell, I really enjoy how really a lot of these departments now are putting out. So Mike talked about it on the last episode with the Lego heads on the lineup photos. But they're really putting out these public information deals, but they're doing it in somewhat of a comical way when it's less serious crime.
Right. You think you get sympathy from a judge when the cops just got lucky getting you? I mean, can you bring that in? No. Look, I was just sitting there. I was committing a completely different crime. These guys
weren't even looking for us.
Yeah,
and they got to do our crime.
There's got
to
be a law against that. Yeah, and there has to be intent on the police side.
They ran.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work.
And you got a ski mask on? Yeah. I'm pretty sure you have bad intentions.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of cross-country skiing done in Slidell this time of year.
Yeah.
At nighttime. Yeah. With firearms and gloves.
Absolutely crazy.
There is an Olympic event that combines all those things. What do they call that? The
criminal games.
Pentathlon? Something. Tathlon.
The one where they
shoot. So he could have been training
pentathlon.
For that.
I think it is.
They shoot those weapons also.
Yeah, you ski, you shoot.
I've seen that. That's pretty cool.
You wrestle a bear. They do all those things.
Yeah, wrestle a bear. For real.
We haven't crossed the pond in a while.
Oh, not this week.
So we're going to go across the pond, and we're going to meet a woman who, for 12 years, has been receiving, on a monthly basis, unsolicited pictures of men's penises. Yeah, she's not happy about it. She's a broadcaster over there. Her name is Jess Davies, and she receives at least one unsolicited anonymous dick pic every month. This revelation seems shocking, but Davies says the practice is commonplace. For the past 12 years, since I was 18, I've received hundreds of images on social media and by email of men's penises in a state of arousal. Sometimes it's just a photo. Other times there is also a text of a sexual nature. It is happening on such a huge scale. It's frightening. Almost every young woman I know has received them. It's so prevalent. Davies, who's 30 now, was speaking on the topic after convicted pedophile Nicholas Hawks became the first person in England and Wales to be jailed for cyber flashing last week. Hawks, 39, sent an unsolicited picture of his erect penis to a 15-year-old girl. He also sent similar explicit photos to a woman who took screenshots of them and reported the offense to police. Hawks, who admitted to two charges of cyber flashing, has been sentenced to 66 weeks. They have such strange sentences over there. 66 weeks in jail for sending the images of his genitals with the intention of causing alarm, distress, or humiliation. He had been given a community order last year for exposure and sexual activity with a child under 16 and was also in breach of court orders. The Online Safety Act, which came into effect on January 31st of this year, has made cyber flashing a criminal offense over there.
There you go.
Davies says
cyber flashing.
Criminalizing this gives off a message to men that cyber flashing is a serious crime. It also shows women and girls that they should not have to put up with it, that it's not just a joke, harmless banter. It's sinister and invasive. While pleased about the new law, Davies does not think that it goes far enough, as the law is based upon, quote, the intent of the offender and not the, quote, consent of the victim. So the determination of whether it's criminal or not is based upon what the court determines to be the intent of the offender. The standard for criminalizing obscene pictures should be consent, not intent. If they were sent without the recipient's permission, if the receiver did not agree to them or ask for them, that should be enough. Women should not have to fight to prove the sender's intentions. Davies has become an impassioned campaigner on this topic. She's lobbied Parliament and gives talks in schools. She's presented documentaries and is writing a book. Her book title's kind of crazy. Her book is called No One Wants to See Your Dick, which I think gets right to the point. But and the book charts her experience of online misogyny and gives tips on how young women can protect themselves. The more I speak out, the worse the abuse I get online, she said. Every day I'm looking over my shoulder. What if someone finds me and breaks into my home? Acknowledging the fact that as a single woman who lives alone, she is conscious of how vulnerable she is. But I feel so passionately about this. It's such a huge issue. A lot of men feel that they can do or say whatever they want. We have to ask why so many people think cyber flashing is okay. It's seen as victimless, but it's a sexual crime. It's crazy, and it has become normalized. Well, the law even as it stands, should help with that at least somewhat. Forcing a woman to see a man's penis without her consent is also an exercise in power and control, and it's happening on such a huge scale, it's terrifying. She says the key is education, so she has taken this up as her cause, and she travels across the country giving lectures in schools and to other organizations about this topic, and is pushing hard for this law to get changed. She's the daughter of a retired cop, and so while she was studying for her degree in college, she began doing some modeling, and she was persuaded to pose in topless pics for a men's magazine while she was still in her teens. I did my first shoot in a pink mesh swimsuit, and I was horrified my nipples were visible, she says. I had been assured that they'd be photoshopped out, but when I looked online, they hadn't been. I was crying hysterically. I was a naive teenager. The internet was exploding at the time. We didn't understand its power. Images from my website were being promoted on porn sites without my consent, and I could do nothing to stop it. So this thing is what got out of control. She made this decision in her late teens to do this kind of modeling. That picture gets out there and grew to the point where she was getting these cyber flashing photos at least one a month. And so, you know, she says in the end, obviously, before that, she says last month, it was from someone calling himself Coke Can Greg, because supposedly his penis was the shape of a Coke can. I reported it to Instagram, but they said there was nothing they could do about it. She says, obviously, there are a lot of good men out there, and I'm aware not all of them are cyber flashers. But in the back of your mind, especially on dating apps, you're always asking, who are these men? What is their motivation? And it is pretty darn scary that you know, there's that much of this going on out there. And one decision she makes as a 18-year-old is still haunting her at age 30.
So yeah,
the internet's been around that long now. So,
all you Louisiana peeps, and I'm sure it goes for other southern states that have a version of it, but in Louisiana it's LARS 14:285, harassing telephonic or electronic communications. So if you get a dick pic, you don't like it, you can report it.
And
it's not about intent, it's about consent, right?
Yeah, right.
And I'd like to add to that I do have a lawsuit pending for him stealing my nickname, which is Coke Can Jim.
Well, good luck with that.
Yeah. And moreover, we'll link the book written in the description of this video for Amazon if you want to purchase. No one wants to see your dick.
No one wants to see your dick. I guess it's actually a great title.
It worked for these guys at some point. I mean, you send out 1,000 and you get one positive response. And
I guess you got to be a lonely cat.
Yeah. Or is it just the thrill they get out of doing it, period? That they're torturing.
I'm sure they get a bigger thrill out of if one of them responded positively. Yeah. I don't know. Interesting.
Well, got something a little different today.
Is that they stole what?
This is a today in true crime history. Right. And a couple of major events happened on April 4th. We're going to cover those. One of them took place in 1968. Very tragic. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis. Today, that hotel has been turned into a National Civil Rights Museum.
Yeah.
That was April 4th of 1968. Also on April 4th, this in 1984, the body of Heidi Villarreal, who was 23, is found on Calder Road in League City, Texas. Her death is associated with the Texas killing fields.
Yeah.
For those not familiar with that, for three decades, off of I-45 between Houston and Galveston, there was bodies turning up constantly in an area, and that area became known as the Texas killing fields. So
crazy.
Some pretty major crime events occurring on April 4th.
Interesting.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
The time.
And now it's kinky crime
time. For kinky crimes for Thursday. All right, y'all. You like Starbucks?
I like Starbucks. I like a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I'm a community coffee guy, but
yeah.
I mean, Starbucks is a little too strong for me usually.
Like three times a day. But if I go to Starbucks, I'm getting an extra shot. I want to be buzzed. Yeah. And I almost went to Starbucks this morning because my McDonald's app wasn't working.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, but anyway,
ice cream machine breaks, McDonald's app breaks.
I went to the very first Starbucks that ever opened in Seattle, right by the public market.
Really?
It's about the size of this room.
No kidding.
Very first Starbucks, yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, and they got them in Arizona, evidently, also, because a 56-year-old Arizona woman was arrested on suspicion of indecent exposure Sunday after she mooned or showed her buttocks to two adults at a Starbucks.
There you go.
Right? A 56-year-old. Wendy Brissell was in the drive-through line at the Starbucks near Dysart and McDowell Road shortly after 2 p.m. when she attempted to cut off another customer in the drive-through. Brissell and a woman both stepped out of their vehicles to yell at each other, right? A road rage in a Starbucks parking lot.
Drive-through rage.
Right. Brissell then turned around, bent over, removed her shorts, and exposed her buttocks and genitals, right, to a woman and a man sitting in her vehicle as well as the victim.
The full moon.
The full Monte. They got the moon and the ante.
They got the moon and the stars.
Yeah, you got everything. Brazil, anyways, her ass was arrested and booked in Maricopa County jail on suspicion of felony, indecent exposure, misdemeanor, indecent exposure, and disorderly conduct.
56 years old, 56 maybe.
56 years old.
Mike, when's the last time you
mooned somebody? What possesses you to...
I might have been older than 56 the last time I mooned somebody, but you got to take me out of the equation. I wouldn't have the flexibility to bend down far enough to give the full Monty there. So she's fairly flexible for a 56-year-old.
I don't know. You know, I just like recess, no class.
Yeah.
I mean, parents are proud of her.
Well, you know, maybe she just considers giving someone the finger to be highly inappropriate. As a substitute,
not strong enough, right? So
one of those two things. So,
yeah. I don't know.
You know, there was a time when mooning was just, mooning.
You know what was under the moon? Beaver.
I think the problem was that they saw an entire constellation, not just the moon.
All right, let's keep crossing stars.
We got a dummy up in Vancouver, Washington. Not to be confused with Vancouver, Canada.
Right.
This is
I confuse those.
Vancouver, Washington. Well, they're pretty close to each other, too. But This is a guy that was involved with the fire department up there. So on Saturday, the 23rd of March, the Vancouver, Washington Fire Department was dispatched to help Vancouver police with a person who was on a roof at 114 West 6th Street. The police needed the fire department's ladder in order to gain access to the roof because an adult man was throwing bricks and glass and other materials off the roof and down towards pedestrians and law enforcement down at the street level. Police tried to use a negotiation team to coax him down, but photos and video posted on social media show the man eventually, as the police and firefighters closed in, crawling off of the roof and onto the non-electrified telephone lines that were yards above street level. So police had to shut down the street, and a fire engine was moved directly below where the man was dangling on this telephone line in case he fell. After he spent 45 minutes clinging onto the wires, he finally fell onto the fire truck. Photos show the man standing on the fire truck before Vancouver police talked him into getting down, so he was still trying to get away after he fell. The man was taken into custody and was taken to a local hospital for evaluation. Police later identified him as Romando E. Stanley. They say that Stanley is also accused of trying to steal power tools, a bike, a cell phone, punching the cell phone's owner, and other crimes shortly before the brick and wire incident. After an evaluation at the hospital, Stanley was booked into the Clark County Jail for robbery 2, theft 2, theft 3, and malicious mischief, and also for being
I can't even hold my arms up for 45 minutes.
Dummy. Possibly strong dummy with gymnastics experience or something like that, but
he's a dumb
dummy nonetheless.
Yes.
He definitely qualifies.
Northwest dummy.
He's going to get away with it.
All right, look. I've got a story to share.
All right.
Something to wrap up today's. I don't usually give a whole lot of final thoughts, but I got one for today. I got a good story.
All right.
And I think the moral of this story is no matter how bad your days are, you're still going to wake up the next day.
Hopefully.
So,
not always.
But. In which case, you're gone at that point. So I'm going to tell you about my Friday.
All right.
Friday was a great day. It was pretty outside. It was a good Friday. Beautiful day. Everything's going great. Mm-hmm. About 3 o'clock, I get a phone call.
That's when right around.
It's my lovely wife.
Yeah,
and she says, "You got to leave right now," and she's panicking. And of course, every time she does that, I'm like, "What? What happened?" Because she don't usually panic like that, but she will over panic in a lot of situations. So she says, Trevor, he's got a flat. And I said, okay, where's he at? I don't know. He won't let me have Life 360 anymore. I said, well, did you ask him where he was at? He's sending me screenshots. So long story short, my son was leaving school, LSU. He gets a flat. And he's heading home. And he's still in LSU's property. And when I was his age, I mean, I just changed the flat, but the problem was he didn't have a jack in his car.
Right.
So, it is, to my wife, you might as well have thought he got kidnapped or something. I mean, it was that big a deal. No big deal. I pack up my stuff and I'm, kind of trying to hurry. I sling my book sack over and I didn't zip.
Yeah.
So my computer flies out and we have, ceramic tile floors in most of this office studio area, and it hits and it didn't even sound good. But at the time I couldn't worry about it.
Right.
So I put it in my bag, zip it up, and I'm thinking, oh my God, I hope that just didn't break. I had the forethought, Woody, to go to my house and get the jack. Cause typical me would have drove there and forgot he said he didn't have the jack. Right. So I get the jack from my house, a spare one I had. I head up there. I get up there, and sure enough, spike and tire, man, whatever he said, I think I might have hit rebar, and it just like stuck and stabbed the whole tire. So I pull the jack out, and no problem. We're gonna let Daddy show you how to change a tire, son. Right? I put it under there, and then I'm looking for the stick thing for the scissor jack.
Yeah, I have
no stick thing. No, so I stand there for about 5 minutes in disbelief. My wife, who I had picked up when I went and got the jack, says, we got to call a tow truck. And I'm like, what are you crazy? Right. We'll think of something. So I had a wrench. So I'm like, well, I'll just wrench it, turn the little deal underneath and wrench it up. But you can only turn that wrench about an inch at a time because of the clearance underneath. So I literally sat there and turned.
That's a lot of turning.
Oh my gosh! For it had to be over an hour.
Oh my gosh.
Why isn't your son doing the turning?
Because he's the thinker of the family. Yeah. he's not blessed with his daddy's big biceps, right? So, I finally get this thing jacked up, And I was smart enough to break the lug nuts right. before I started jacking it up. And that was in and of itself a chore. I was literally almost lifting the car off the ground. But I did end up getting broke. Jack this thing up and pull the tire off. And I'm so exhausted at this point. I'm like, I got to sit down before I put the spare on. So my son's like, I can, you know, and I'm like, you can't do that. Yeah. He picks it up, boom, puts it right on. I'm like, where were you all my life? So we end up getting it, you know, put back on there, the spare, tighten it down, let it down. Spare has about 5 pounds of air. No air pump.
Yeah.
So now I'm pissed, right? It's like 6 o'clock. Yeah. I've been out there for, it had to be 2.5 hours. I've been, you know, I'm sweating. I'm just, it's awful. And so I'm like, look, I'll drive to an air station right now. I knew I passed a gas station a mile away from there. So I'm like, everybody just go there. So we go there and I pull up. And of course, this is the one air station probably left in history that takes only quarters that you push in. So no problem. I've got cash. I go in. The guy says, I have no quarters. I'm like, you have no quarters? You're a convenience store. I have no quarters. I said, okay, this is it. I get back outside. I tell my wife, just go. I'm following you. Just go home. And I drove it. And the whole time, you know, you're white knuckled because I know I've got, I'm like, this is going to blow out on the interstate. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, you got on the interstate with that?
Yeah. Yes. I was so mad at that point. I felt I deserved it. So I get home and sure enough, I did make it there and aired it up. Everything ended up okay. Now I've got to pay attention to my computer situation. I got back in my vehicle, run it up to the Apple store because when I went to turn it on, there was no power on. So I'm thinking, well, maybe I just lost power. I plug it in at my house and the little light thing that shows you that it's powering up, it doesn't come on. And I'm like, oh yeah, this ain't good. So if all of that to say this, if you're wondering why you did not get an episode, that's why. It is, as Woody would say, lost in space. On that computer somewhere, but we can't power the computer up. Yeah. It is at the Apple store, and hopefully we'll get that back soon. Fortunately, I have a backup, so this episode will be fine.
Woody and I called each other Friday afternoon and said, man, that Monday show is the best show.
And no one will ever hear
all the ones that lost in space are the best.
Of all time. The stories in that show.
All the ones that are lost in space.
Wow.
But here's the true moral of that story. You ready?
Can't wait to hear it.
You should be very proud of your son, because when Good Friday came around, I was nowhere near a college campus. I had already taken off probably on Monday.
I am very proud of my son,
And, you know, shit happens. We did have the show recorded for Monday, and it was Easter weekend. And Tuesday? Oh, it was Monday show.
Yeah,
Monday show. And so, I mean, shit happens. I've got a whole bunch of episodes that are lost in space, and thankfully mine were just lost in space and didn't have all of that involved.
Oh, my gosh, man. It was like what Murphy's Law Day. Yeah. And, I am proud of him because when I finally got home that night and everything wrapped up, he said, I ordered on Amazon a jack and a bottle jack and a jack deal.
And now he knows.
And I didn't even have to tell him to do it. He just did it.
Next time it happens, you don't even have to be
And he'll don't call Dad.
Don't call Mama first. Yeah.
Fully inflated spare.
Yes, and a fully inflated spare. Absolutely.
That reminds me, I actually have a light on telling me that my spare, which is in the boot, not on the car, is low on air. I've never seen that. I didn't even know I had that.
If you got a fancy car, if you monitor your spare.
Tells you you're spared. I'm like, he's riding deep, right?
Really? You can tell me that.
Yeah. Interesting. They couldn't tell you how to get to it. It'd be the problem.
That's right.
But, well, y'all, we love and appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you for liking and listening and sharing. And have a great Thursday.
There you go. Mike, any final thoughts?
But do you have another story you want to share? How long was that one?
No. You're good? That one filled us up pretty good.
Can you do a musical background to that? Like
I can come
some,
up
yeah,
with
come
an
up
intro.
With some like violins in the background. No, go get some to drink. Thirsty Thursday.
Thirsty.
We got some
Thursday.
Big college basketball on tap.
Yeah. All right. Indeed. Well, until next time, I'm Jim Chapman.
And I'm Woody Overton.
And I'm Mike Agavino.
For Real Life, Real Crime Daily. Peace.
Like what?
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.